Earlier this year, the conservative think tank The Heritage Foundation unveiled the blueprint for what they're calling Project 2025, a game plan to be used if a Republican is elected president in the next election. Here's Project 2025 director Paul Danz.
This is really a plan for conservatives to be ready to hit the ground running day one, January 20th, 2025. And what we're inviting is a whole new group of Americans and inspiring them to come to Washington and serve. This is really the pathway. We've lined up our what we believe in a policy book. We are recruiting people into a database. We're training people to tell them how the federal government functions and how they should function in government. And finally, we are drafting transition plans, all with a mind to advance the conservative agenda in 2025.
The report outlines how conservatives might boost executive power and, in their words, deconstruct the administrative state from the moment a Republican president is sworn in. That includes making it easier for a president to hire and especially to fire a broad category of federal workers. Some Republican presidential candidates have endorsed the idea of changing these federal employment protections, including the frontrunner, former President Trump, who changed relevant rules but lost the election before putting them into practice. Our next guest has been watching the proposed changes closely and joins us now for a look at the possible impact, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. What policy, what administrative changes would you like to see if a Republican were elected as the next president of the United States? How about a Democrat? Do you think the president and the executive branch should have more or less power, especially when it comes to political appointees, other appointees in the federal government, and civil service jobs? You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Don Kettle is professor emeritus and former dean of the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland and is a non-resident senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. He was a longtime professor here in Wisconsin. Don, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi there, Rob. It is great to be back with you and all my friends in Wisconsin.
Now, this document we're talking about from Heritage and other groups, over 900 pages. A lot of it is policy related. I want to focus in on this personnel issue, Don. We've talked about this some before. Now, federal employment policy may sound like an arcane issue. Why are these proposed changes important?
This is, I think, really fundamentally important to how it is that the Republicans are planning to approach the government in general if they win in 2024. This, first of all, is a really serious document that needs to be taken extremely seriously, whether you're a fan or not. I actually weighed it in on the scale, and it's 5 pounds. So you can buy a second one and you can build up your biceps just by doing bookshelf lifts in the morning. It is just incredible in detail. But in particular, there's a strong focus in going after what the Republicans are calling the deep state, to try to root out government officials who they believe were not sufficiently responsive to President Trump during his term, and making sure that loyalists can be put into place when, as they hope, Republicans win in 2024. The basic goal, the basic strategy is to try to replace people who are not, as they say, accountable to the election and to the wishes of elected officials, and to make it easier to replace them with people who, in fact, are loyal. Big question, how many people could this involve? And at the early stages, there was talk that maybe it could be maybe a few thousand, but I conducted an interview with the person who wrote the Trump executive order, who said that he easily could imagine 50,000 federal officials being involved. And then as we talk further, said maybe it could be as much as 100,000. Toward the end, ultimately, I think where this is going in the long game is an effort to try to make all federal employees subject to removal by the president. So this is a fundamental piece, not only in terms of figuring out where the expertise of government ought to rest and the role of politics in government, but also in the balance of powers between the branches. So it's hard to imagine anything more fundamental than this.
Can you talk about what got us to where we are now? What are some of the protections for most non-political appointees, and why are they in place?
The basic principles here, and it really goes back not only in the federal government, but also there in Wisconsin during the administration of Robert La Follette as governor, was an effort by the progressives, not as progressives as we understand them now, but progressives in terms of the progressive movement, around the dawn of the 20th century to bring expertise in government and to wring out the role of machine politics. And so the idea was to try to be sure, allow elected officials at the top to make policy, but then to hire in experts who were supposed to be neutrally competent, as the saying went, and pursue the strategies and tactics that policy officials, elected officials set for them. And so that the idea was that the policymakers would make policy, but that the bureaucracy would be in charge of administering it in a way that was politically impartial. But what's happened over time is a growing belief by conservatives that there were too many liberals and Democrats in the bureaucracy who saw it as their goal to frustrate the efforts of the policymakers. And so now they want the power to be able to remove them and to replace them with people who they believe will be more loyal and more representative of the kind of policies that the new elected officials would want to pursue.
And that's, I think, the core to the argument for making these changes, whether at the end of the Trump administration, in a rule that was reversed by the Biden administration, or with a new president in 2025. Hey, the people elected this person as president. Let's help that elected president overcome the inertia of this large body of officials by giving the president the power to remove more of them. Is there a problem with that?
Yeah, I think there's a huge problem with this. But first, let me acknowledge the fact that they absolutely positively do have a point. That as I've talked with senior federal officials over time, every single one of them can point to somebody that they had to work with, that they would like to have removed, would like to have fired, but have found it either impossible to do or simply concluded it would take much too much effort to be able to do, and so they just gave up. And then in addition, there is a new report that's really been out just for the last week and a half, and it is by one of the conservatives who was responsible for the Trump initiative, and he cites chapter and verse of elected officials who wanted to do things during the Trump administration and political appointees, but found themselves in a position where they were handcuffed, they thought, by either people who were slow walking their proposals inside the bureaucracy, dragged their heels and refused to do it, refused to give the right kind of policy advice, but one way or another just undermined those efforts. And so the effort was, okay, that's something that we have to change, they think. That the problem is that the more that we end up in a situation where the people begin to suspect that there's a political spin on every single decision that comes through the bureaucracy, to that degree, I think that the trust in government in general would be undermined, and that the competence of government to do what needs to be done could be seriously eroded. That, I think, is a very big problem.
We're talking to Don Kettle, Professor Emeritus and former Dean of the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland, looking at sweeping changes to the executive branch being proposed by a coalition of conservative think tanks in the event of a Republican presidential election win. You can join in at 800-642-1234. You've heard the basics. What else do you want to know? What questions do you have? What do you think about this? Should the president of whatever party be able to fire and hire more categories of elected officials, or should we restrict that to some of the top-level political appointees? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation with Don Kettle from the University of Maryland, looking at Project 2025, a conservative think tank's contingency plan for if a Republican is elected president in 2024. Among other things, it would give the president a lot more power to hire and fire a wide variety of federal employees. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. James is with us in Milwaukee. James, hi.
Good afternoon.
What did you want to bring up, James?
Well, my thinking is, and I look back at history because that is what I graduated with, a degree in history. Mm-hmm. And I look back and I think to myself, because I've seen time and again that presidents have wanted to get rid of folks they don't like. I think a president should only be restricted to getting rid of top federal employees, not all federal employees.
James, thanks a lot for the call. And Don, that is effectively how it works now. We've got some of those top-level cabinet officials and others that need Senate confirmation, some other top-level ones. Who right now can the president at will fire?
Yeah, that's a good question. And right now we have about 2.2 million federal employees. This covers everybody from air traffic controllers and TSA screeners to people in Customs and Border Protection and the FBI. And the president has the power to appoint about 6,000 of them tops, depending on how it is that you look at the numbers and count them up. So that the vast, vast, vast majority of federal employees are those who are in the career service and can't be fired except for cause. And so that's the sense of the overall lineup of things. That the complaint that the conservatives make, however, is that too many of those 2.2 million federal employees are in key positions who have been in a position to frustrate what they've wanted to do. And so they've also concluded that these people are impossible to fire for cause, or at least so hard that no person, no manager would ever want to do it more than once because it's so aggravating. So they want the ability simply to be able to replace them. And so that's where the battle lines are being drawn here.
Thanks for the call, James. A concern, a criticism, Don, is that this could be a big boost to executive power. In the most dire critiques I've seen, that this is potentially an authoritarian move. Is that overstating the concern?
Well, I don't think it's authoritarian per se, at least not at this point. But it is a kind of radical shift in the balance of power. And it's something that I wrote about in a piece that was published today in govexec.com in Washington, where I think what really is going on here is that the conservatives really imagine a far stronger executive branch. They don't look at Congress as an institution that can be moved, and that, as we've seen even today, Congress is having a terrible time even trying to find a way to forget about passing a budget, even granting an extension of the decisions to be able to pass a budget. And in addition to that, they know that the Supreme Court and the other elements of the judicial system are now more reliably conservative, but they're not primarily involved in policymaking. So what this really is an effort to try to strengthen the executive branch, to strengthen the president, to strengthen the president's control of the bureaucracy. And this really represents, in my mind at least, the most dramatic shift in power in the balance of powers in government toward the presidency since the time the Constitution was written. And so one of the reasons why I think we need to pay such careful attention to this is that the fundamental implications are enormous. And it's not clear to me that in general we've really thought this through. This is the kind of thing that come slipping through gradually, bit by bit, as more decisions are made. And we could find ourselves in a very different position in just a few years, depending on how much of this might go through.
Is this something that a president can just do via executive order? Say, hey, I'm changing the rules to give me more power here, no checks, no balances?
There's a big debate over that right now. Ramaswamy, in fact, a week ago, claimed that he could reduce the size of the federal workforce over the course of perhaps a first term by perhaps as much as 75%. And he countered the critics by saying that he has authority under the president's authority to have reductions in force and also reorganization to be able to make that happen. I think that's not true. But again, it gets back to the basic question of the separation of powers. Can a president claim that he has the authority to have such a fundamental power to reshape the nature of the bureaucracy? If you think that this matters, or maybe if you think that it doesn't, consider back to the time when there was the famous Sharpiegate case where the President Trump had made a mistake in where it was that he had drawn the projections for the onslaught of a hurricane in the southeast and went back and corrected it himself by drawing on the map a much broader cone of where it is that the storm may go. Well, that got a lot of laughs on late night TV, but there was tremendous pressure on the inside of the Hurricane Forecast Center for the forecasters who were involved to try to get them to change their forecast to match what it is that the president had said. And so the risks of having something that would go that deep into the basic process of even forecasting where a hurricane might go is something that could have dramatic impact, not only on the performance of government, but how much we trust anybody to say anything.
And Don, in the closing days of the Trump administration, we had the president pressuring various officials to take actions to claim fraud in the election that wasn't there. Ideas were floated of like a seizing voting machines and things like that. Is there a concern that, hey, if everybody is handpicked by the president and partisan helpers, that a president might be more able to find somebody to willing to follow orders, even if they might exceed the law?
I think that's exactly the case. And one of the first issues is that the nature of the law is always subject to interpretation. And if you can find somebody who interprets it as you like, then you have that much more power. It also is a matter of asking how many speed bumps there are to try to restrain the exercise of executive power. Throughout the course of history, the strongest ways of trying to undermine the democracy that countries have tried to establish and the powers that the people have come through the exercise of executive power. And so the question is, what kind of restraints might there be? How many speed bumps should there be? And the fewer speed bumps there are in the way, that the easier it would be for an executive to try to seize control. Of course, the Republicans and conservatives would argue that they're not certainly trying to do that. All they want to do is to be able to say, if we get elected, what we want is the ability to be able to put our policies into place. But of course, that raises precisely the kinds of risks that you've talked about, Rob.
Don, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
So great to be with you.
That's Don Kettle, Professor Emeritus and former Dean of the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland, non-resident senior fellow at the Brookings Institution once upon a time here at UW-Madison as well. We talked to him about Project 2025, a conservative think tank's blueprint for the next Republican presidency, including big changes in how federal employees are hired and especially fired.